we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When you think of the book of Joshua, what stories come to your mind? The crossing of the Jordan River? The stones of remembrance? Maybe you think about the tumbling walls of Jericho or the day the sun stood still. The book of Joshua is more than all that. It is a book of historical facts and events in Israel's story, but it's also about new beginnings for God's people. It encourages us to be strong and courageous in the world today as we claim our rich spiritual inheritance in Jesus Christ. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Lord Jesus, we just give you this time. I know we've already been prayed over by Bethany, Lord. We give you this time. We are thankful, Lord, for this time that we have together. I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, we stand against anything of the enemy that would want to come in, to have our cell phones go off and have all these things happen, Lord. We are setting our eyes on you, Lord. We are keeping our eyes on you. We're keeping our attention on you. We will not be distracted by the things of this world. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. So Larry Norman, who was, he was a long time ago, and anybody that I know was a long time ago, but he was he's a singer, he's a writer, he's a Christian musical artist. Get it right. So anyway, he was from a long time ago, and I always think that he's like, who's dad's favorite? Who's your dad's favorite? No, the other one. Bob Dylan. But Larry Norman is much better than Bob Dylan, and he's better than just about anybody. Everybody is. But anyway, Larry Norman was a softer sound of Bob Dylan. But when he wrote, he was so prophetic in his writing. And so this song came to my mind, and it often comes to my mind as I'm preparing for something, as I'm getting ready to teach, as I'm getting ready to share with other people. And the song is One Way. And the words are one way to heaven. Hold up high your hands, one way, free and forgiven, children of the Lamb. Two roads diverged in the middle of my life, I heard a wise man say, and I took the one less traveled by, and that's made the difference every night and every day. So I say one way to heaven. Hold your heads up high, follow free and forgiven, children of the sky. Don't get stuck on that children of the sky, because that's what the world wants us to do. I recently heard of a church that put a pile of dirt out in front of their building and then taught them that John 3:16 meant, for God so loved the earth that he gave his only begotten son. And so we need to take care of the earth. Don't be fooled by this world. Don't be fooled by this world. It's going to be an interesting year, ladies. I know it. I know it by this. So don't get stuck on that. We are children of the living King, and we are going to heaven. And that's, we are children of the sky. So one way to heaven, only one way. You've heard people say that there are a lot of roads to heaven. A lot of roads to heaven. But you know what? There's not one road to any place except salvation. You can't say, oh, lots of roads go to Sacramento. Oh, there are, oh, all the roads lead to San Diego. All the roads lead to, why did he say Missouri? Why does that come to mind? All of these places, I don't like Sacramento. I don't like Missouri. Anyway, all roads lead there. No, they don't. One road leads you in. There are a lot of ways to get to that place of the one road, but there's only one road. I heard an illustration by a young man recently, and he had, then that was going to be my visual. He had a whole thing of keys. Does anybody have a big bunch of keys that they can loan me for a minute? Just you've got a big bunch of keys. You got to have a big bunch of keys, okay? How many? Oh. Sorry, back there it sounds. I'm sorry, it was adjusted so well. So he held up his keys, and he said, there is only one key that will get me into my car. And he said, all of these keys look really nice, and they all look like they go to something, but you know what? They only go to one thing. All of these keys only go to one thing, but I want to go to my car. Well, gee, this, you know, this key looks like my, this one's pretty close to my car key, so it looks like it will open it, but it won't open it, will it? Only one key will open my car. And you say to me, well, my car doesn't have a key. It has this other little thing. That other little thing will only open your car. It won't open somebody else's car. So you still only have one key. So all of these other keys, they look great. They're very attractive. Some of them, you know, I was going to bring mine. My house key looks like a palm tree. It's really pretty. But it won't open my car. It only will open my house. There's only one key. There's only one key to salvation. There is only one key to salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, as many of you know, and so give your life to Christ if you haven't already done that. So this year, as many of you know, I asked the Lord for a scripture for the year. And this year, my scripture is Psalm 65:11. Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. You might want to open up to Psalm 65, and we're going to look at it. Psalm 65 is considered a national psalm of praise and thanks to God for his goodness. It was apparently sung after the spring rains came to water and to refresh the earth. And this song was even more meaningful if the nation had been through a particularly bad, dry season, because you see, God is always good. God is always good. He always gives us abundance of what we need. A crown is a special hat that's worn by kings, it's worn by queens, it's worn by emperors and other royalty. And we know all too well that human crowns eventually fall. Some of them just slip down around their neck, doesn't it? Yeah. We've recently seen it where one crown was adjusted to another person and the difference in the leadership that comes with that. Always difference in when the crown is passed on. But God crowns the year. His grace will crown every day we face in the new year, even with its challenges. He will crown this year with goodness, even with all the challenges that we'll go through. Crowns are mentioned in the Bible, the number of crowns that are mentioned in the Bible. 2 Timothy 4:8. speaks about a crown of righteousness. James 1:12 speaks of the crown of life. Isaiah 61:3 talks about a crown of beauty. 1 Corinthians 9:25 speaks of an eternal crown. 1 Peter 5:4 tells us of a crown of glory. Isaiah 51:11 says, "Everlasting joy will be upon their heads." I'm not piggybacking on anybody. Everlasting joy will be upon their heads. Everlasting joy will be upon their heads. And in Psalm 65:11, it says his goodness, he will crown it with his goodness. Do you know that many countries and even the UN name each year with some form of identification or plan of action? There was the Year of the Cat. Those of you who are closer to my age, you remember that song, "The Year of the Cat." You know, they sang that out. The Year of the Moon, the Year of Children, the Year of Shelter. Did you know in 2022, the UN termed the year, are you ready? The International Year of Basic Sciences for Sustainable Development. My prayer for you and for us is that this year will be the one in which God will give us a bountiful harvest. Even though there are things around us that may be uncertain, even though everything around us is uncertain, everything. I don't know if I'm going to be here in the next second. Everything in our life right now is uncertain. We make our plans, but we don't know what's going to happen. We trust the Lord. That's how we get on. That's how we get by. That's how we live our lives. We take comfort in knowing that God's goodness is upon us. Take a look at Psalm 65. In verse 2, it says he answers our prayers. In verse 3, it says he forgives our sins. In verse 4, it says he fills us with good things of his house. In verse 5, he answers with awesome deeds. In verses 5 through 7, he protects us. Verse 8, he does wonders. And verses 9 through 13, he sends rain and makes the land fertile as the climax to a year of abundant blessing. As the climax to a year of abundant blessing. Looking back on this last year, I can see a lot of blessings from God that God's given me, and many of them have been in supernatural ways. I don't know if all of you know Pastor Fausto. Talk about supernatural ways. Pastor Fausto should have died from the looks of everything. He should be looking in the face of Jesus right now by the way things looked. But people prayed. And God answered that prayer. And he was here on Sunday. Walked in the door. Looking great. God did that. That was supernatural. We live in the supernatural. It's been said you may lack the fastest, the finest, and the latest, but you won't lack what's needed. You may lack the fastest, the finest, and the latest. I don't have the latest style of anything, but I don't lack for what is needed. And I never will, because God gives us all we need. God's favor will be seen even in the hard places, and especially in the hard places. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. No doubt you and I will have to face some, if not many, hard pathways this year. Are you prepared? Has it started already? Yeah, some of us have already started with the hard pathways. It's part of life. But the psalmist says, even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. As we look into the book of Joshua, let's remind ourselves that before the promised land could be conquered, they had to cross the Jordan. Before they could enter into the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan. And before they could remain there, the walls of Jericho had to come down. Do you have some walls in your life that need to come down? Yeah, me too. God's at work. Someone said, if God takes us on a stony path, he'll fix us with strong shoes. If God takes us on stony paths, he will give us strong shoes. He gives us all we need. The past year has been a dry, the psalm speaks about abundance after a dry season. And I know that some of us have seen a dry season this last year. Notice I said us. Some of us have seen a dry season. I don't know of the us that's out there. I believe, and I encourage you to do the same, that we will see God's abundance overflowing in the path, in the hard paths this year. That we will see God's abundance overflowing in the pathways this year. This is our verse for the year. We will see it. We will see it fulfilled if we remember that on our part, we need to give the Lord Jesus the first place in every area of our life. We need to give the Lord Jesus the first place in everything in our life. Everything in our life. An article that I read that was written by a friend of mine, he wrote, to achieve spiritual success, do not forget to give God the first hour of the day, the first day of the week, the first part of every paycheck, the first consideration in every decision. Ooh, that's a hard one. To give him the first consideration in every decision and the first place in your heart. The first place, the first hour of the day, the first day of the week, the first part of every paycheck, the first consideration in every decision, and the first place in your heart. May we receive God's crown of goodness and a bountiful harvest in the new year. And may we see his abundance overflowing even in the hard pathways. But wait, I'm supposed to be doing an introduction on the book of Joshua. But you see, I did mention that you have to cross the Jordan. I did mention that the walls of Jericho have to come down. See, your Bible study is written so well that as you read it, you're going to have all the information you need for an introduction. So this is the direction that God has led me this morning. Let me say this about the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is the story of God delivering on a 700-year-old promise to an old man who had no kids. Go to the land that I will show you, God told 75-year-old Abraham. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. Genesis 12, 1 and 2. When Abraham obeyed and arrived near the center of Canaan, which we now know as Israel, God said, look around to the north, south, east, and west. I will give you and your family all the land you can see. It will be theirs forever. Genesis 12, 14, and 15. Do you know to this day, Israel has never established all of the land that God gave them. To this day, they still have not reached. And we're fighting over little bits and pieces of it. The family would go to Egypt to escape a famine. And there, they grew such in numbers that the Egyptians feared them so much that they were going to overrun the country. So what did they do? They enslaved them. But under God's order, Moses freed them. And now, under God's order, Joshua is taking them into the promised home. Into their promised home, into the promised land. Many of the scenes in this story are as dramatic as the Exodus. We're going to see the water stand back. We're going to see walls come tumbling down. The walls of Jericho spontaneously collapsing. What are the chances? The sun and the moon stand still so Joshua's soldiers can finish an important battle. It's clear that the conquest of Canaan or of Israel was not because Joshua was such a great military man. You'll remember that during the time when, was it Moses that had to hold his hands up in the air? So that as Joshua fought, and every time he let his hands down, they were losing on the battlefield. When his hands were raised, they were winning on the battlefield. Two guys come alongside and they hold up the arms. Do you know that that exact thing happened years ago at a women's retreat? We were worshiping, God was moving, God was speaking, and I raised my hands, and I'm telling you, there's nothing special about me. Promise me. Promise me? I promise you. I promise you. It's the same thing, only different. My hands were raised as we were worshiping. Words from the Lord were coming. People were speaking out words from God. And my hands got tired. Put my hands down. And the place got quiet. I raised my hands, not thinking, just raised my hands again. And here it came again, the word from the Lord. Here it came again. And that mention of what happened with Moses, what happened on the battlefield with Joshua, had to do with the arms raised. God gives us everything we need. Gives us all. So just that, I have that in my head. The sun and moon standing still. So what didn't have anything to do with Joshua's brave training or any of that? And it also, we'll see, had nothing to do with the Israelites' bravery. We'll see that that's the truth as well. It had everything to do with a promise that God made to an old man who had no kids. God always, always, always delivers on his promises. And he will give us a year. And he will give us a year that he has crowned with his goodness. And as we stay on his path, we will find that it drips. It drips. It overflows with abundance. When I think of stuff dripping down and over, and I think of a honeycomb. When the honeycomb gets so full, and the honey just starts dripping down and just goes, that's God's goodness, that's God's abundance. God will provide all we need, and it will be in abundance. God will give us all we need to accomplish whatever he has called us to do. I'm looking forward to see what God has to teach us this year as we walk together through the book of Joshua. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are good. I thank you, Lord, that you give us all we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do. Lord, that you have promised us that this year, you have crowned this year with your goodness. That your goodness is always there. And that in your paths, it drips with abundance. The key is to stay on your path. And so, Lord, right now we recommit to you. We say to you, Lord Jesus, please come take over my life. I make messes of it all the time. Lord, cleanse me of my sin. Abide with me, Lord. Abide with me. Can you see yourself right now when you hear that word abide, kind of sitting around a fireplace in a warm home, blankets over your knees? The chair across from you is Jesus. Abide with me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for me and being the sacrifice, paying a price I couldn't pay. Would you fill us now to overflowing with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord? Power to be your witnesses. Power to give glory to your name. And help us to stand against the wiles of the enemy in the power of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out.